Good evening, Mr. President.
Well, how's your morale?
Well, my morale is great, sir.
Yeah, how's your business coming along? Pretty good.
Yes, sir, it is. It's been busy getting organized and getting moved this week, and still having a lot of things to clean up back at the White House. But it's coming fine. I was in New York today, but my secretary told me that I had received a very nice letter from you, so I have not seen it, but I appreciate it very much.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's coming along fine. You really hit them right between the chops yesterday beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
everybody, people here pretty obsessed with that thing, and, they naturally look down the road and see the horrible spectacle of the Irvin going on, week after week for a couple of days, and it's going to be that way. I think we have to expect that.
Well, I think you put it in perspective yesterday perfectly. I read the transcript this morning and did not see the television last night because I was traveling, but I thought you just laid it on absolutely perfectly, and I gather from the accounts I've had with, very firmly, and put the damn thing to rest. I really cannot.
Not to rest.
Well, I mean, as far as.
No, we got, you've got a weak Reed and Baker, of course. And the whole thing is just a continuing problem. It's sort of like one of those 1,000 cuts deals that the Chinese talk about, and they keep drawing a little blood each time.
Well, but I think the point of it, Mr. President, is that they have not been able to lay a glove on you anywhere. And I think what kills them the most is that not only is this the man they thought they'd buried once and was their arch nemesis, you talk about the press now, but here's a man who beat them and beat him by the biggest majority ever. And now, lo and behold, is a popular president. And I think this is what drives the Mary McGorries and the Carl Rowans who are just screaming over this. This is what drives them crazy. And the only thing they've got that they can write about, or her block can draw cartoons about, or the Post can editorialize about, is the Watergate. So they are going to keep hitting that until they feel they have a better issue. What amazes me is that they don't get onto the food price.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That'll be tough for about 3 months.
Yeah, but that's a tough one that would have some bite out in the country. This has no impact in the country.
Not yet. Of course, when they go on television, Chuck, we have to realize it's kind of like the McCarthy hearings. It'll get through.
But the underlying issue is different, Mr. President. You've got in the McCarthy hearings, you had a lot of people who were damn concerned. I was. I remember at the time. Over communism and government. Now that's an issue that got people kind of excited. And of course, then McCarthy became.
And McCarthy was a good drawing card.
Sure, and he became the issue, and he was powerful. I mean,
I'm not sure that after they get Mitchell and Stans off, what others they can put on. I mean, nobody's going to give a damn when Chapin goes up. Well, he isn't going up, but Magruder and all those people, Sloan and the rest.
I don't think it's.
We hope not.
Well, the only basis I have to judge it on, Mr. President, I was with the Warner Communications people today. They're mostly.
Which?
Warner Communications, Warner Brothers movie.
Warner Brothers, oh yeah.
Good people.
Sure.
Mostly Jewish. I don't imagine that they're Republicans.
But they're good people.
But they are, and we're going to be doing some work with them. And all around the table, they were telling how, of course, obviously they wanted to be nice to me, but they were telling how tremendously impressed they were with you and how their impressions had changed over the years and how you had brought such dignity to the White House. Two of them mentioned the dignity of the White House and how you'd take, of course, great interest in the movie industry. That they directly appreciated. But nobody, I was in Boston yesterday with some old clients. Nobody raises Watergate, or if they do, they raise it in a sympathetic way. Isn't it damn shame that all that stuff is continuing in the newspapers? I think I would know if people were. I think I would get a feeling for it if people were concerned about it, especially Republicans. I think during the campaign, I can remember a lot of calls where people were saying, oh, God, can't you get rid of this, or how'd you ever get into this mess?
Of course, one of our our major problems really, Chuck, is the Republicans in the Senate and the House. They don't stand up, do they?
No, they don't.
Except for Goldwater.
That's right. The majority of them do not. We, unfortunately, Howard Baker has been asking to see me, and I've been a little reluctant to go up and talk to him because I didn't want to.
Let him come down.
Well, I might. I might have him come down to the office.
To your office, yeah.
His administrative assistant.
Tell him if you come up to his place, it's going to be a big story.
That's right.
Which is what he wants, of course.
Yeah, I guess he does. I'm a little disappointed. I was very disappointed in the way he reacted yesterday.
Yeah, well, he went particularly, and he knew damn well that I had told him there would be no appearances in public.
Sure, and here's a guy who, for God's sakes, was just reelected and doesn't have any political problems. I don't quite understand Howard Baker, but...
Well, he's trying to be a big hero. He doesn't realize that if he is a hero against his own party, he's finished himself and his party, no matter how it comes out. It doesn't make a difference.
No, that's right. Laurel Weicker, I can understand. That's part of the... The Northeast rich boy son liberal syndrome. I mean, that's... Laurel Weicker just is, in my opinion, is always going to be... We helped him because we wanted to win that Senate seat in 70. But he'll never have much character. But I think I hope for a little better out of Baker than this.
Well, I'd see him.
But, yes, I would.
But I'd see him. I wouldn't go up there. I would...
No, I've been reluctant to do it.
Don't go up to the Senate. Stay away from there. Let him come see you. Say, look, it'd be... I'd put it on the basis of, look, it's going to be too big a story. You ought to just drop by and you'll see him socially or something, you know, arrange a place.
Oh, sure. Well, I think I can probably do that. I know I can do it. He'll do that. But I'm curious why. I think he's... I can't quite figure him out. He's had a lot of problems with his wife, and he's been as a matter of fact, he's been a disappointment in many respects. He has not shown the strength that.
That's why he isn't a leader.
That's right. He could have been.
That's right.
All the stuff going for him.
Mm-hmm.
But George Webster's been talking to him for us, and has not.
Has he?
Yeah, has not come back very encouraged from his discussion.
Was he fine?
Well, he just says that Howard isn't, you know, doesn't have the spine. The backbone that he should have.
Mm-hmm.
Gurney has been great, of course.
And he's coming up too. I don't want to hurt him.
Well, hell, as I say, I just don't. We could be entirely wrong about it, and the issue could be simmering out there. But I damned if I see any evidence of it. And I think I would. I just think you.
Well, I think what they're thinking is not what it is today. But what it will be when they start in May and then go on with their road show for about 2 or 3 months.
Well, people can get awfully tired, Mr. President, of something which is, it's politics, you know, and here we are carrying on politics in a non-election year. You know how tired people got of the presidential campaign. They'd made up their minds how they were going to vote in September of last year. And there was damn little change from, damn little change from July on, really. But people,
right.
I think, got sick of the campaign.
Sure did.
They kept counting the days, wanting it to end. But and the public were the same way. Now that I just can't believe that you can generate a great deal of excitement over essentially a political issue and the hyperbole of some of the reporters. I just think that's from their standpoint. That's counterproductive. I don't get the feeling that Frank Fitzsimmons, who's a pretty good barometer because he goes all around the country and he talks to local union people, and he gets letters and he gets phone calls. The only thing that people are talking about in a negative way, they're talking about the prisoners and they're so damned excited about
And food prices.
Food prices.
Sure, we understand.
They hit Frank on. Nobody mentions Watergate. And maybe some of the sophisticates and. I don't even get it from them. Maybe they won't give it to me, but it sure doesn't surface in the public opinion polls as an issue. And I can't imagine they're keeping it alive for 2 or 3 months. I think would just bore the hell out of people. You know, they did that with AT&T. It had no. We kept thinking it was going to be catastrophic in an election year. Hell, it didn't have any impact at all. Because the issue itself didn't.
I suppose they're figuring here, though, they've got a little bigger fish to fry, you know. They're shooting at and hire people, aren't they? In a sense, well, that's what they think, at least.
Well, you remember that they had Flanagan on the griddle in the ITC.
Yeah.
That doesn't.
But I mean, they're thinking now about, you know, Mitchell and Holloman and all that sort of thing. You know, that's what they really are after.
Well, that's they are, sure, but. I just, as I say, I wonder how much that really cuts with the American people. And I don't think it's anything like the Sherman Adams case. I remember.
Well, he was accused of a crime.
Of taking personal benefit.
That's right.
Which
that's
is
right.
A different thing.
That's right. And so when people say, why did he testify? Because he was accused of something. But they're not saying that yet about our people.
Well, they only
want us about the knowledge, not about the crime.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any question. If someone were taking a bribe, which is really what the Adams case was about.
That's
you know,
right.
The Oriental rug and the Vicuna coat and the hotel bills. And he allegedly intervened in an administrative agency. That's quite a different thing than a campaign activity. But my feeling about it, Mr. President, is that it's an evidence. It is evidence of how little they've got to go on. They really don't have any place to attack you, and in my opinion, you're stronger than you've ever been. I think the return of those prisoners and the wounded.
Yeah.
The ending of the war the way it's ended, and the prisoners coming back. I just think the country, with the one exception that we've talked about, is in a marvelous frame of mind. And these guys are just, this is the one place they can try to get at us. And we have to be, there's no other way than to just hard line it. I think the way you did it yesterday was marvelous. I think the fact that you came out this week when there was a lot of heat and a lot of fire over Watergate was great, because that showed you weren't ducking the issue. You came right out and hit it head on. You did it very firmly. You drew very good, I thought very interesting, very significant parallels. Made your point very clearly. And at least, you know, the worst thing would be the beleaguered president in hiding.
That's right.
Yeah, with the Senate attacking. And,
that's right.
No, it was great to come right out and hit it right at the time that Dean is under the most fire. And put it to rest and say you're not going to comment on it. Let them keep.
But that we will furnish all information.
Sure. Of course, the point which no one is. Well, Dick Wilson, I guess, made it a little bit tonight in the Star. Tried to. Everybody fully cooperated with the FBI and the grand jury. I mean, there wasn't a single question that any White House aide or any cabinet officer was asked by the FBI or the grand jury. It wasn't answered in full, to my knowledge at least. And certainly everything they asked me, I answered, and I think everybody else did the same thing. What the hell, that's full cooperation. Now to go further is, as Wilson put it, kind of strictly a political fishing expedition. And I think there's a damn good, legitimate argument that the office of the president should not be exploited for that purpose.
I just get some people in the Senate, other than just go out of plus maybe three or four others, and maybe that could be listened to, that would take up the cudgels a bit. That would be helpful, wouldn't it?
Yes. Maybe I should start talking to some of the people. There ought to be some who would get a little incensed at this, really.
Yeah.
Maybe that's an area that I should try to talk to someone.
Well, you might, you know, in a discreet way, so that they don't say that, well, we were, well.
Oh, I can do it now.
Sure. Right.
Maybe I should. That's a.
Maybe a place you could have a little fun with them.
Well, there's a few of the columnists have been getting it now. They're just as there's a glimmer of it, as I say, Wilson tonight had it, and some of the stalwarts have been writing pretty good stuff. Maybe if we got a few of the guys in the Senate.
Right.
One or two have talked to me about it. Ed Brooke, oddly enough, was one who, he's been very silent on this, but he felt that they had been, the senators had gone too far in their accusations against, unfounded
I pointed out that, what the hell, I really stuck it to him on that his case thing, too, where that jerk asked that question, where I said, well, a hell of a difference. It was espionage against the country. They should have cooperated, and they didn't even give us anything.
That's right, by order of President Truman.
That's right.
Told them not to do a damn thing, and in this case, you've ordered everyone to cooperate. I thought you made that point. Well, it was, as always, a tremendous press conference. I did not hear this one, as I've heard others inside. I think soon that you're going to want to, I would hope you'd think about doing one on a prime time televised, because I think you're masterful at turning those questions to your advantage. As I say, I read the transcript and I could see where you took every one of them and used them brilliantly, including the, I thought, the well-justified little rap at Gray, frankly, in comparing him to, in talking about Hoover. Gray did not use good judgment.
Did not distinguish himself on that, no.
Oh.
It was bad judgment to turn over the raw files to a full committee. He could have turned it over to part of it, but not the full committee.
Even the use of raw files is a...
They've always made the raw files available to Eastland and others when they've had somebody up for consideration, you know. Mm. That's all right, but you do it on the basis that you do it only to people that will keep it private.
Well, it's like the CIA budget.
That's right.
A few people in the Senate that you know damn well you can... Stennis and others, but you, God, you just, it destroys the effectiveness of the FBI. I know damn well I'd have an entirely different attitude towards talking to them in the future than I've had in the past.
Absolutely.
Damn well think about the leaks and...
That's right.
You know, it does hurt their effectiveness.
Well, you might have a little fun with some of the senators in a quiet way.
Well, I might talk to a few this weekend. I'll also see what Baker's sniffing around on. It may be that the message I got from him, which was through George Webster, of course, although I will say Webster was disappointed in him, but he came back and he did say he would like to talk to me. Said it twice this week, and he said the real thing he'd like to know, he said he just wants to know whether he's going to stick his neck out and then get it sawed off. And
well, talk to him.
I told Webster that that was not the case, that I knew that, this was a case where he could step up and become a hero. But
yeah, we don't want him to get his neck sawed off, but he needs to be assured on that, you know, because the problem is that many of our guys are scared to death for fear that there's something there that's going to come out that's going to make them look like...
That was the cover-up. That was the whole message from Baker. Through Webster was, you know, he wanted to know, and he said he would trust me if I would come tell him that. Well, I was a little...
Don't go down there. You have him see you.
But if he'll come down, I think I can assure him that maybe that'll stiffen his back, because...
He might.
That may be what is concerning him.
Well, also, he's got to know that whatever his views are, he's not going to win if he takes the view that he's going to participate in an attack on the president.
No, and he's, you know, basically he's not like that. I think it may be that he's just a little nervous. Maybe I can settle him down a bit. I'll assure him that no one in the White House knew anything. That's something that may...
That's what he needs to know.
Yeah. Well, I'll take a crack at that and see if I can also line up a few other
good
stalwarts on the Hill.
Good luck.
We'll do it. Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, sir.